stories told of Carol Barth. For those of you who don't know Carol Barth, he was a fine theologian of yesteryear. He was giving one of the closing lectures of his life, and some of you have heard this story before, at a university in Chicago in their School of Divinity. And at the end of the lecture, the president of the seminary told the audience that Dr. Barth had not been well and was very tired after giving the lecture. And he thought that Dr. Barth would like to take questions, but that he probably couldn't handle the strain. Then he said, "Therefore, I'll just ask one question on behalf of us all." And turning to Carol Barth, one of the greatest theologians of yesteryear, he said to him, "Of all the theological insights you have ever had, which do you consider to be the greatest?" A remarkable question to ask of a man who had written tens of thousands of pages of some of the most sophisticated theology ever put on paper. The students got their pens and their pencils out. No iPhones in those days to take notes on. They got their pens and their pencils out. They wanted to jot down this premier insight of the greatest theologian of their time. Carol Barth closed his eyes, and he thought for a while. Then he smiled, and he opened his eyes, and he said to those young college students before him, "The greatest theological insight I have ever had is this: Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so." Carol Barth knew his Saviour, Jesus. And he knew him through his knowledge of the Scriptures. He had read them and he had studied them year after year after year. Everything he did in his life was based on his reading of the Scripture. Everything he taught was based upon his knowledge of the Bible. And so this evening, I just want to remind us how crucial it is that we use our Bibles. We've already heard from Lisa and Ian how it impacts upon their lives. What does it mean for us? Well, in 2 Timothy 3:16, we come to realize straight away that all Scripture is God-breathed. That means that it's God's Word. That is our starting point. Overarching everything else I might share in these next 10 minutes or so is this. This book is God-breathed. That means that God brought it into existence. That means it's God's words that are written on these pages. We need to remember that this isn't some random collection of writings by a variety of unknown men brought together into one volume simply for us to read and enjoy. It's the Word of God. God, in a miraculous way, communicated it to men and led them to write it down in order that it could be preserved forever. What these men wrote was the Word of God, inspired and infallible. While it's true, suggests one scholar by the name of MacDonald, that the literary style, that's hard for me to say, the literary style of the individual writer was not destroyed. It's also very true, he says, that the words he used were words given to him by God's Holy Spirit. In 1 Corinthians 2:13, Paul says, "This is what we speak, not in words taught us by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit, expressing spiritual truths in spiritual words." God spoke to the writers of Scripture through the Holy Spirit. And God still speaks to us today through His Word and through His Spirit. Friends, that's everything that's written in here is God's Word. And on the basis of that, it's important for us to read and to learn and to apply it to our lives. And that's what Paul is encouraging his young friend and colleague Timothy to do. Paul, in the preceding verses, encourages Timothy to continue in all that he has learned and all that he has grown up with. Timothy had been grounded in the Scriptures from a young age. As a young child, he did his sword drill in Sunday school. He understood the Scriptures. We probably didn't do sword drill because it would be quite hard with a scroll in front of you, the Old Testament, to try and do a sword drill, wouldn't it? But you get the picture. He's well groomed, he's well nourished, he's well nurtured in the Scriptures. And we would do well to be like him, to
to know how wise the scriptures are, indeed how they help us to become wise unto salvation. So what is there in this book from God? Well, four key things for us this evening, that we, as we read it regularly and understand it. And they're all found in verse 16 there for us. And the first is this. It's about teaching. Teaching what is right. It's there to teach people the truths of God. It's there for divine instruction. The Greek word here goes beyond simple teaching and goes on to actually what we teach. The word means teaching doctrine. And that's key to what Paul is telling Timothy. Scripture teaches us God's truths. And the Bible is full of doctrinal content, both in the Old and in the New Testaments. And we think to ourselves, doctrine, that sounds heavy. It sounds something like theologians would look at. It sounds something like your pastor's going to get into as he fills his time during the week, because he's got nothing else to do and he'll just get into the doctrine. But it's for all of us. And doctrine doesn't need to be deep, it doesn't need to be heavy, it doesn't need to be beyond our understanding, because God opens his word up to us that we might understand it, that we might take it in. And so doctrine is basically just God's word. It's the truths of God that come through page after page after page. You know, the one thing that's missing from many Christians today, and the one thing that is not clearly taught always in our preaching, is doctrine. The word frightens us. The themes behind it put us off. We're afraid that we're not bright enough to understand it. But hey, if somebody like me can understand it, guys, we can all pick it up. We can all understand God's word as his spirit opens our eyes. The Bible's got so many major themes running through it. These are the doctrines. It sets forth the mind of God in regard to the Trinity. To man, to sin, to salvation, to sanctification, to the church, to heaven beyond. We are taught what is right through these teachings. God tried to teach the people of Israel through Moses and the Ten Commandments what was right, and yet people still sinned against God. By and large, the world today still ignores these commandments, and yet so many of our laws are based upon them. So many of our basic morals come from the teachings of the Ten Commandments. In a recent, fairly recent TV documentary, people were asked about the Ten Commandments and they struggled to name many of them. They were then asked to list their own commandments. And the amazing thing was that the ones they listed weren't actually that dissimilar to what God listed in his Ten Commandments. And most of what they did say, the ones that were different and the words they used, could actually be traced back to God's words. Jesus taught that the greatest commandment was that we love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And he says the next commandment, the second in line, if you like, is like it. It's to love your neighbour as yourself. In that TV documentary, as people were asked to list what they would have as their top 10 commandments, number one was that they wanted to do unto others what they would do to them. So that whole thing of loving one another, caring for one another, living with one another. How biblical is that? So the Bible is there to teach us what is right. The Bible, if you like, is God's instruction manual for us to show us how to live on earth. How can God give us an instruction manual? Because he's the one who made us, the one who knows the world and everything in it. And so he gives us his word to help us understand how we should live. Teaching what is right. The second element is rebuking. And that's about that stuff that's not right. What is not right? Rebuking, or reproof, as it's originally translated, means to tell off for having done something wrong. As we read the Bible, we learn of everything that is right and is right to do. But we also see that which is wrong and isn't right to do. The Bible speaks to us pointedly about those things in our life which displease God. Moses was forever telling the people of Israel off for not following God's laws and God's commands and for turning to other gods. The prophet Nathan went to King David after David had looked out his window and saw that beautiful woman Bathsheba bathing. And what did he do? He went and had his wicked way with her. Nathan came to point out to David the error of his ways. None of us is faultless in life. We still sin today. Christians, non-Christians alike. We are, after all, sinners. But sinners saved by grace. If we read our Bibles regularly and thoroughly, we will learn the error of our ways. We'll begin to see what we've done wrong or are doing stuff that's not right. And we'll feel rebuked by God's Holy Spirit. And the challenge for us then is not to ignore the rebuke, not to ignore the reproof, but to act upon it. When Nathan went to David to point out the error of his ways, David confessed his sin in that wonderful Psalm, Psalm 51. The Bible teaches what is right, and it rebukes us, showing us what is not right. But for rebuking to work properly, it must lead to correction. You see, it's no good us just learning what we're not doing right. We need to sort it out and start doing that which is right. And so the third thing in the list is correcting. And correcting is about how to get right. The Bible is full of rebukes for us to read and for us to take note of in our lives. But it also shows us how to mend our ways. Ephesians 4:28 says, "He who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work doing something useful with his own hands, that he may have something to share with those in need." For a great example to consider, what about Zacchaeus? I'm sure we've all remembered Zacchaeus from our Sunday school days, don't we? He was a man who had cheated and who had stolen from people in his job as a tax collector. We have no idea what Jesus said to him when he went to his house for tea that day after calling him down out of the tree. But the result was that Zacchaeus saw the error of his ways and did something to correct that. Zacchaeus gave back to those he had stolen from, and he gave a proportion of his ill-gained profits to the poor. He sorted it out. He was corrected and he got it right. The Bible teaches us how to sort ourselves out. And it also shows us the extent of God's amazing love, that when we weren't able to sort it out for ourselves, God stepped in and did it. And that's in regard to our sin. It's in regard to our standing before a holy and a just and a right God. Because there was nothing we could do to get ourselves right there. God had to send his own son to the cross of Calvary to die in your place and mine in order to sort out that sin problem. In order to restore us in our relationship with God. Jesus is the only way. We sang it a moment or two ago, didn't we? "I am the way, the truth, and the life," said Jesus. "No one comes to the Father but by me." There is no way for us to get that bit right. But there are other bits the Bible teaches us about that we can correct in our lives, that we can turn from, and we can turn towards God. The Bible teaches what is right. It rebukes us for what is not right. It corrects us by showing us how to get right, which leaves us with the fourth element there in verse 16 of 2 Timothy 3. And that's about training in righteousness, how to stay right. The Bible is full of the truths of God. We see what's right and we learn that. We also see what's not right and are rebuked for it. We're showing how to get right by its correction. But how on earth do we stay right? We stay right by learning from Scripture as well. And I was trying to think of a good analogy here, but I kept struggling. The best I came up with was the highway code. And then I remembered to myself, to my own shame, that, now I'm going to challenge myself. Almost 22 and a half years ago, man, that's scary. I picked up the highway code and I read it from cover to cover and every page in and out and in between in order that I could sit my driving test and in order that I could pass. Now, it was a little bit easier in my day because I sat down next to the driving examiner and he asked me a few questions at random from the pages. These days, when you go to sit a driving test, you need to know your highway code inside and out because you've got to take a theory test first. So it's even harder now. But what do we do with the highway code? The highway code tells us how to drive safely on our roads. When was the last time, hands up, when was the last time you read the highway code or referred to it? Anybody done it in the last year? Only because you were sitting a test. Which is good. Anybody in the last 5 years? Hey, we've got a few in the last 5 years. That's a good thing. How many in the last 10 years? We've got a few in the last 10. See, there you go. It's a poor analogy. Because what I'm trying to say is that we need to read things to ensure that we stay right. But we don't keep reading the highway code to make sure we stay right in the road. We think we are, because we think we're good drivers and we think we understand what we're doing, but we never get there. To make sure we stay right in life, though, we need to be picking this up. Not just when we're going to sit a test. Not just when we're going to do she swords, draw swords. But we need to be picking this up day by day, that it might train us in righteousness, that it might show us, God through his word might reveal to us how to stay right in life. For living well, we need to stick to God's instruction manual. Jesus himself in the desert, when he was being tempted by the devil after his baptism, every time the devil came to him and said, do this and I'll give you this, Jesus was able to take something from God's word to allow him to stay right. He used God's word to help him. And we need to be so in tune with God's word. We need to know it inside and out so that we can do the same in our lives. It trains us for righteousness. It shows us and helps us to stay right. So, God's word, breathed by God. So it's his instruction manual for us. It's not made up randomly. God put it together, all inspired by him. It's there for teaching what is right. It's there for rebuking what is not right. It's there for correcting, to show us how to get right. And importantly, it's there for training in righteousness in order to show us how to stay right. Get reading God's word. Stick in at it. Allow it to apply in your lives. And time's running away, but one story to finish with that I may have shared before, but it's a good story, so I'll share it again. The late Bible teacher, we're going back in years tonight, Harry Ironside. He told of visiting a godly Irishman called Andrew Fraser, who had come to California to recover from tuberculosis. The old man could barely speak because his lungs were almost gone. But he opened up his worn Bible, and until his strength was gone, he simply, sweetly opened up truth after truth in a way that Ironside had never heard before. Before he knew it, Ironside had tears streaming down his cheeks. And he turned to this old Irishman and he said to him, where did you get all these things? Could you tell me where I could find a book that would open them up to me? Did you learn these things in some theological college or from some wise pastor? And Fraser answered him, my dear young man, I learned these things on my knees in a mud hut and a little sod cottage in the north of Ireland. There with my Bible open before me, I used to kneel for hours at a time and ask the Spirit of God to reveal Christ to my soul and to open the Word to my heart. He taught me more on my knees in that mud floor than I could ever have learned in all of the colleges across the world. Friends, the best way for us to understand this is to open it up on our knees, in our beds, on our chairs, wherever else you happen to sit and move around, open it up and to read it. And that way, we might allow it to teach us, to rebuke us, to correct us, and to train us for righteousness. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for time together this evening. We thank you for time to sing your praise. We thank you for some of the fun and the laughter we had as we played that game. But Lord, we thank you for the whole thing of the game was that we might know our Bibles and read your word together. We thank you that your word is there to teach, to rebuke, to correct, and to train us in righteousness. Father God, help us to be so stuck in your word, to be reading it day by day, that we know it inside and out. Reveal Christ to us through your word. Reveal the truths of your word into our hearts. Reveal to us how we ought to be living our lives in line with your teaching and your ways as we read your word day by day. Lord, inspire us afresh to be reading this, your word, that we might understand more of you, that we might love you more, and that we might serve you more. Lord, be with us in these coming days as we keep opening up your word. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.